their whole heart and mind for their father, and a lot of times the mother do for their children, to push them to excel some way in sports or maybe something else they focus on. And they just train their boys and their girls to be maybe in the football or basketball or baseball or some other super sports or one thing. That's sort of the whole life for the father, the whole life for the mother, for that child to excel in that area. I mean, they just live their life through their son or through their daughter, and they'll do anything they can to make sure that they are great in that one area. All amount of time they need, the practice, the games, the amount of money or time, as like I said, for that person to excel. That seemed like just one thing that child was born in this world to do, and that's that father and mother wants them to be that one thing. Maybe be a superstar. And that's the dream of the mothers and fathers. Well, most parents don't have this idea of that child when you bring children in the world, that you just bring them in this world for just that one thing. But did you know God the Father had one thing for his son to come in this world to do? And that is to die the death for you and I. Now, that was in the heart and the mind of God the Father before the stars was ever flung into the sky. Before this world was ever spoke of, to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. The purpose and the passion of Jesus Christ. Very few mothers and fathers ever bring their children to the world just for one thing. Some do, as I said, to excel and be a superstar, maybe. But this one thing that God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ into this world, for the purpose and the passion that you and I might have life, that you and I might have forgiveness of sin, that he would die on the cross of Calvary, that me and myself, with all my sins behind the cross, make it away from my family as I brought little ones into this world by the blessing of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. To make a way that one of these days when this life is over, and it will be before long, that out there in eternity there is a meeting place for me and my family. And I know that God has prepared for the whole world to have a meeting place for their family, and that's in Christ Jesus. This life is not the only life. This is just the beginning. But he had a purpose and a passion, not just for the ones that sit in this service this morning, but for the whole world. From Adam and Eve until the last person who's born and dies on the face of this earth, and time shall be no more. God sent his Son for the purpose and the passion to die on the cross of Calvary. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you again for this great privilege, for this time of the year, for us to remember and look back. Father, what it really means, not just for this day, what it really means, Lord, for the whole world. And how can we thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you have done for us, to make it possible that, Lord, that this life is passing by, but, Father, we can have it and have it more abundantly. But, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. That, Lord, that me and my wife and me and my family, me and my kids and my grandkids and right on down could have an everlasting life. Bible says there will be a reunion day. We will know each other as we were known here on this earth, Lord, in a very spiritual way. We will have new bodies, but the Spirit of God will be dwelling in us, and we will have the Spirit to recognize the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be around that throne forever and ever. Father, we want to thank you for everyone that's here today. Father, for no matter what reason they came, I hope that they understand and the eyes of the heart be open for the purpose and the passion of Jesus Christ upon that person. You are very, very special. Today, if you would have been the onlyest person in the world, that Christ Jesus would have died on the cross just for you. Thank you, Lord, we can never understand or realize the greatness of the cross of Calvary. But Father, we pray that the Spirit, Lord, and the Word of God may help us today to give you the honor and glory that you deserve today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Jesus Christ, God the Father sent his Son for one thing, to offer himself as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the sacrifice, a substitute for our death. The purpose, as I said, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I have more abundantly the day of life than I've ever had before. I know Christ Jesus, and that brings more life into me because I was dead in trespasses and sin. But the passion, John 10:15 says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ died for me. That was his passion that he had for me. 2,000 years ago, while he was on that old rugged cross, did you know he looked down and he saw you sitting here this day? He saw you and he was willing to die for you, not only you, but for the whole world today. Jesus came into this world, his purpose in mind of the heart of God and the Father. This is the purpose and one of the passions that Jesus had for us to die for us. I would like for us to see Jesus Christ in the prophecy of the Lamb. Throughout all eternity, he was in the heart and the mind of God. As I said, he sent him in this world for one thing. The prophecy of this, 1,500 years before the mankind would ever think about this. In Micah, it says in chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephraim, thou was a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, who going forth, having been from of old, from everlasting unto everlasting, that one great purpose. Now, we know the story about Exodus. In Exodus, we see the purpose and the passion of the Lamb of God unfolding before our eyes. In Exodus chapter 2, we know the great Passover. We're talking about the Passover Lamb. Whenever the children of Israel was in bondage and God sent forth Moses, there was 10 plagues upon Egypt to let my people go. He would not let them go till the last plague, and that was a plague of death. The whole land was under the death sentence. I'm telling you, the Israelites was under the death sentence, and all the Egypt was under the death sentence. But God sent a lamb, and that lamb should be slain, and that blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, the Passover, and he says to Moses, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now we know that the most powerful monarch upon the earth at that time, world power is known, was in Egypt at that time, the kingdom of this earth. Today, we know the power around this world today is a power of evil. People without Jesus Christ in bondage, you and I without Jesus Christ was in bondage at one time. And just as it took the blood to free the Israelite people, it takes the blood to free everybody today under the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, the power that God's going to deliver them, we will see in the Lamb and the gentleness and the meekness of a little lamb as we see Jesus Christ. The Lamb is a symbol of meekness and submission. But in Egypt, the symbol of Egypt was a serpent. A snake on the crown of old Pharaoh, he wore a serpent as coiled around upon his crown of his head. That was a power. Old serpent, the poison serpent. But the lamb in prophecy today is that sweet little old lamb, that innocent lamb, was going to defeat that old giant serpent, and he did. This was a very special lamb, as you understand. This lamb had to be chosen. It had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. If it had any blemish, it would be disqualified. It was a very special, special lamb. Pick you out a lamb and check this lamb very, very thoroughly. In 1 Peter 1 and 19, it says for us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is, Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb. But then we know it had to be a slain lamb. The lamb was chosen for death. This was the purpose that Jesus Christ came into this world, the purpose. He says, I lay down my life. He says, I'm going to volunteer, die for you. There's no way that you can come to the Father. There's no way that your sins can be forgiven. There's no way, nothing that you can do. You cannot live a good life. You can't be a good enough mother. You can't be the best of fathers. That will not do it. You got to come under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I lay down my life. The father of that house at that time chose that lamb, checked that lamb, and then that father would carry that lamb out and cut that lamb's throat and catch that blood in a basin and hold that blood. The Bible says, take that lamb, and it says in the evening time at 3 o'clock, a very special time. In the evening time, Jesus Christ would die on the cross of Calvary. That was his purpose of Jesus Christ, that slain lamb. But also pictured in prophecy, that saving lamb. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7 and on, it says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you eat. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, no matter what they would have done in that house, they could have put up gold, they could put silver, they put jewels, but then nothing they put up there would have satisfied the holy God. It had to be blood. That means no goodness that you can do. No matter what you do, you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. When I see the blood, he says, I'll pass over you. It don't matter what else anybody says, you cannot remain good enough. There's nobody ever been good enough, because God said we have all sinned and come short of Jesus Christ, is what it's talking about. Do you think that you're good enough to go to heaven without Jesus Christ? No, sir, there's never been a man. But he says, whenever I see the blood, I will pass over you. Salvation does not come from the life of Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from the death of Jesus Christ. His blood must be applied. In Hebrews 9 and 22, we sing all the time that we read this when we take the Lord's Supper. And almost all things are by the law pledged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. And then not only the saving lamb will that blood apply to you today, but also the shared lamb. God commanded the Israelites to eat the lamb together, and it's a shared meal for all of us today. Anyone that refused to take the Passover meal would forfeit their salvation. If they refuse to take of the meal, they refuse to take that lamb, they refuse to kill that lamb, they refuse to put the blood, they, even if they was Israelites, their firstborn would have been killed. Everybody was to share this. Exodus chapter 12 and 8 tells us, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Why people refuse the Lord's Supper, I'll never know. This is part of what I'm talking about on this table. This do in remembrance of me. As the Israelite walked out of Egypt, the lamb walked out inside of them. There was a lamb inside of the Israelites when they left Egypt, every one of them. Colossians 1 and 27 says, to us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, there's a mystery in the church that Old Testament people could not understand, because you can't understand without revelation. God did not reveal it to them. The Holy Spirit of God did not come in people at that time. The Holy Spirit of God come upon people. They were special anointing to do a special calling that God had called them to do. He would come upon them and he would leave. The Holy Spirit of God in his ministry never come inside people. At the day of Pentecost, he come inside of it. Whenever Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit of God came, the Holy Ghost of God came, and the people accepted Jesus Christ as you today. Did you know what? You have a lamb inside of you today. That's what it means. You have a lamb. If you're saved this morning, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And it says in that verse of Scripture, that's the hope of glory. Without that Jesus Christ within you, there's no hope of glory. That Jesus Christ is in us today. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ in us, a shared lamb. We feed on Jesus Christ day by day. That's his passion, and that's his purpose for you and I, for the hope of glory, that lamb inside of us. But not only do we see Jesus Christ in prophecy, but, you know, we also see Jesus Christ in the lamb in history. The history of the lamb, it goes far, far back for his passion and his purpose. All points to Jesus Christ throughout all the history of mankind, all up from the Garden of Eden to the present day and right on into time shall be no more. And John the Baptist was baptizing, and John chapter 1 verse 29 says, the next day John, that's John the Baptist, seeing Jesus coming to him, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I mean, this Lamb takes away the sins of the world. Explain that in just a minute. And his disciples, Andrew and also John, when they saw Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 36 and 37, and I looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ to understand that he is the Lamb in history? He is a very special Lamb today in history. When Adam and Eve sinned, God covered them with animals' skin. He killed animals and covered them with skin. You know, they tried to cover themselves. You know, that's the first religion in the Bible, fig leaves. That's the first religion in the Bible, fig leaves. Trying to cover yourself with something that man could do. And it's still the same thing today. People still sewing fig leaves together to cover themselves from a holy God. But see, that won't work. All your goodness is fig leaves. Being a good daddy, that's fig leaves. A good mother, that's fig leaves. Being a good child, that's fig leaves. Giving to the cause of any type of a church activity, that's fig leaves. Coming to church is just fig leaves. Everything you do is fig leaves. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That by the shedding of blood, there are no forgiveness of sin. But we know that God killed those animals, said they was clothed in animal skin. There had to be some shedding of the blood. All points to the cross of Calvary. When Cain and Abel, right outside the Garden of Eden, whenever they put out their work and their livelihood, one of them was a gardener, the other worked with the flock. And then there was a sacrifice to be made, as Adam and Eve had told him many times how to make a sacrifice. Well, Cain brought the works of his hands, you know, turnips and vegetables. But you see, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And God will not accept his sacrifice and his offering, no matter how great it was. But Abel, he was a herd of animals, so he brought an animal. At that time, you see, there was an animal slain. One animal, one sheep for one man. One. And then we know at the Passover I just read to you, we find out in Mount Sinai, or the Passover I just read to you, this Passover, God says you take one animal, one lamb for one family, the whole family. And then, as we on Wednesday night, you should be on Wednesday night having a good time with a tabernacle in the wilderness. We see that God on Mount Sinai says you take one lamb, you carry it into the Holy of Holies, and you sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, and that lamb for one lamb for the whole nation, the nation of Israel. And then today, John the Baptist, seeing Jesus Christ, I just read that verse of Scripture. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, not of one person, not of one family, not of one nation, but the sin takes away what? The sins of the world by the cross of Calvary. That ought to get your wood burning, I can tell you that right now. Behold the Lamb of God, the whole world, the passion and the purpose of Christ. Give him glory, give him glory. He, you know what, but people say they don't believe in a virgin birth because, you see, that's just impossible for a virgin to have a child. Yes, it's impossible, but you know what? All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, this Lamb was a very special Lamb. He's special today. But not only that, we find that Jesus Christ in history was a slain Lamb. Now, disciples did not know the passion and also the purpose of Jesus Christ. A lot of we can't even understand today. But Revelation tells us a little bit more about this slain Lamb, what He came to this world to do, His purpose and His passion today. In Revelation chapter 13 and 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everyone's going to bow and understand that Jesus Christ is that Lamb slain from the very foundation of this world. You see, you and I today, we're going to bow to Jesus Christ. You know, we have already bowed to Jesus Christ or you wouldn't be saved. I've been to the foot of the cross and I've bowed. You see, everybody's going to bow. Everybody's going to bow from Jesus Christ. Either going to bow in this life or either you're going to bow at the great white throne judgment, but everybody's going to bow. I'm going to tell you, Saddam Hussein is going to bow. Hitler's going to bow. Every ungodly person in this world is going to bow. I'm going to tell you, the good person is going to bow without Jesus Christ. The good moral person is going to bow. You see, that good mother is going to bow, and that good father is going to bow. Without Jesus Christ, they're going to bow, but it's going to be too late. It's going to be at the great white throne judgment when the dead shall rise. I mean, out of hell, it's already been there for generations of time. They're going to bow. Everybody's going to bow. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father has dedicated all His aspect to this one thing, that Jesus Christ is going to come into this world for one thing. Not as a lot of fathers does today. If I could just get my son to be this all-star, if I just get my son to be great in some type of sports, well, that's good. But God says, my son is going to do this one thing for the purpose and this passion of coming to this world, is send a son without spot to demand the sacrifice that a holy God demands. That's what Christ has done for you. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 22 also tells us, for as in Adam all die, you're in Adam this morning or either you in Christ Jesus. There's only two groups of people. There are only two families in the world, and you're in one of them whether you like it or not. You're in the family of Adam, and you're going to die in your sins and go to a place called hell, or either you in Christ Jesus. And it says in Christ Jesus, so in Christ shall all be made alive. You'll be made alive. You see, you are dead in trespassing to sin. So hard for people to understand that something that you got to do to cause you to be so bad that you go to hell. It's nothing that you do. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. God don't send anybody to hell. He made a way for everybody to be saved. But you don't do anything. All you have to do is just act naturally. Because my fallen nature, my falling nature can never be improved on. As I told you before, some people have been saved for 50 years, some 20 years, some 10 years. But you are never improving on your old falling nature. You cannot improve. Well, I'm going to church, doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing everything God tells me to do, I'm doing it. But you're not improving on your falling nature. Nothing. We try to think that we get better. You'll never get better. This old flesh is called the falling nature. It's in Christ Jesus. We renew the Spirit of God and in Christ Jesus in us. What makes us be more like Jesus Christ? God has nothing to do with this old falling nature. You see these little ones that people, you know, that born these little ones. I say Wendy sees it all the time. This little one comes in this world. And they're so innocent, aren't they? But you know that God will have no part even if that little child is so innocent. That little child, that flesh and blood, God will not allow even that flesh and blood to enter into heaven. Now think how precious and beautiful that little child is. But God the Father will not allow that flesh and blood, as innocent as it is, to enter into heaven. You see, a lot of children, a lot of kids, they die. It's sad, isn't it? But you see, that little body, that old flesh will not go to heaven. You see, a child don't have to be saved because it's already safe. I don't know the age, but I know what old David said whenever his child, King David with Bathsheba, he prayed for this child to be saved and wouldn't die, but God took it anyway. And then David says, you know, I can't bring that child back from heaven, but I can know one thing I can do. I can go to where that child's at. When your child reaches the age of accountability, right now, I don't know what that age is. No man knows, only God. No, whenever that child reaches that age, that child knows they are rebelling against God. Someone says, well, no, whenever they know right from wrong. Did you know a little small crawling child knows right from wrong and knows not touch this, not touch that? They know right from wrong whenever they little. That's not the age of accountability. The age of accountability when that child gets old enough to know that what I'm doing and what I'm not doing is rebellion against a whole and a holy and a righteous God. And I don't know what that age is, and no man knows what that age is. But I tell you, when that child gets to that age, you better have him in a place where they understand that there's a way of salvation. When that heart is tender, to understand that I can accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because when that child reaches that age, no matter what age that may be, and I do not know, when that child reaches that age, it begins to walk away from God. Did you know some people walk faster away from God than other people do? And that means deterioration. When that child reaches that age, you see, that child is dead in trespasses and sin. That child is dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. Now, there's no degrees of deadness. There's no degrees of deadness. They are degrees in decay. As human beings today, God said, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you are dead. Now, there's good moral people. There's good mothers, there's good fathers. I have worked around people at the Redwood was Mormons. And Mormons teaches to go to heaven, you've got to be a good person. And some of the best moral people I want to tell you that I've ever been around was Mormons. They're just as lost as they can be. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're just as lost as they can be. But they was good moral people, about as good a person as I've ever met. Some of them, I just thought the world of them. I didn't know the difference at that time. That person without Christ is still dead. Now, the deterioration have not set in as you would see someone on drugs or whatever you might say, somebody on Skid Road. The deterioration doesn't set in. That good moral person or that person there on drugs and on Skid Row, both of them's dead, but the deterioration have not set in. Well, that child, when that child comes to that age of accountability and starts walking away from God, your child is dead. Now, how the deterioration sets in is just according to a lot of things of this life, but they're dead in trespasses and sin. No matter how much you love your child, let me tell you, there's some mothers and fathers in here, I know that you love your children dearly. You would die for them. I mean, you love them, and I would die for my children. But you see, your love will not save your child. Your love will not save that child. You know what? Jesus Christ's love will not save that child. Because God sent his Son into the world. He loved this whole world. But his death, Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, and that child accepts it, you accept it, that blood shall be set free. Jesus Christ, we find out in history, is that saving lamb. That's his purpose. In Acts chapter 20 and 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Did you know if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ this hour, you don't belong to yourself? You don't do what you want to do. You do what you ought to do. A lot of times we do what we want to instead of what we ought not to do. So many times. But you see, Jesus Christ bought us with his own blood. We belong to him. And he's the only one got claim over us. That's the reason he can command us to do things, because he has bought us with those nail-scarred hands. I was reading a story several centuries ago about a little orphan boy. And at that time, there was no homeless places for people to go. He's just a little orphan boy in town. There was a man was going to take care of him. He didn't have too much means. He was a very poor man, considered a very poorly man. And he really didn't have no wife, just lived by himself. So a little boy just come up there, and he just took the boy in, tried to do the best he could for him, and gave him a place to sleep. He had one of his old wooden houses upstairs, and the little boy, he went up there and just made a civil home. The man looked after him the best way he could. But then the fire caught out of that house, and like these old wooden houses, it don't take long for that fire to burn a house down, the old wooden houses. And then the bottom floor caught on fire, and the little boy was upstairs, and the man saw him, out the window. The little boy couldn't get down. But at that time, how the old cast iron steel pipes run upside the house? Now we have plastic, you don't even see them, they run up through the inside. But old cast iron pipe, and it was hot. But this man saw a way that he might get that boy out. So he began to climb up that hot pipe. Hands was burnt all the pieces, but he made it to that second floor. Out that window, he got that boy on his shoulders, and he brought that young boy back down to safety. Well, how the town is, and the town expressed, that boy didn't have no place to stay. So family services at that time, the experts, the family services today, the experts we have in government want to tell you more about your family and yourself. They said, the boy would be better off at someone else's home. The man couldn't provide for him. So they had an argument and went to court with it. And in court, they had all the arguments made, that he wasn't able to take care of and all this stuff. And then the judge said, would you like to say something to the man that rescued the boy? Would you like to say something on your behalf? You know what the man done? He just stood up before the jury in the court, and he done like this. People saw his old scarred hands as he climbed that pipe with his burning hand, no matter how much pain he had, to save that child. The end of the discussion, he got the boy. You know what Jesus Christ is telling you today? You know what he's doing to you? The words have been said, it's all over with. His purpose and passion have been done. You know what he's doing? He's walking up and down every pew right now. Every heart, and he's walking in, he's going up to you. He don't have to say anything. He's just showing you those hands. He's just showing you his hands. He's just showing you his hands. He don't have to say anything. The court says, it's settled. It's settled. And I'll tell you one thing, it's settled with Jesus Christ. Because his purpose and his passion has been settled. Nothing else needs to be said. It's all been said. 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ looking down that scope of Jerusalem. And he going and getting ready to go to die on the cross for those hands that get scarred with those nails. And he goes in the eastern gate of the Passover Lamb. At the same time, we find out that the sheep's are going into the sheep gate the last week. The Feast of the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Mount Moriah, many years ago, Abraham carried his only son Isaac up that same mountain. And the first question was asked by the Lamb in Genesis chapter 22 and 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up, both of them. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And John the Baptist answered it, behold, the Lamb of God. John chapter 19 and 20 says, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That one lump, he said, it is finished. Nothing else needs to be said. Anything else need to be said to you today? Look at the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. That's all that you have to see. And as we kind of hurry along, as we see this victory in Jesus Christ, what he's done for each and every one of us, we find out this was also a shared lamb. That night they celebrated their freedom whenever the Israelites came out of bondage. And today, we celebrate our freedom of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ and this victorious lamb, Revelation chapter 4, John comes. And he says, come up here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. I want to show you things to come. John came up in Revelation chapter 5. That's the rapture of the church. Come up hither. That starts the rapture of the church in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Then verse 5, we begin to see the things hereafter. And it says there in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the books, neither to look thereon. And I wept." That's John crying in heaven. "And I wept," he says, "I wept much, so no man was found worthy to open or read the book, was neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, John, weep not. Behold, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereon, the purpose and the passion of Jesus Christ." You see, it was a small lamb. It was called a little lamb, a pet lamb. All the forces of evil as it was in the day of the Egyptians, all that force of evil could not keep but one little lamb from setting that nation free. You today, I want you to look at the force of evil that's holding you back. But I'm going to tell you, all the forces of evil, if you want to accept Jesus Christ this morning, I'm going to tell you there's not enough of demons in hell or demons out of hell to keep you from coming to the cross of Calvary this day. If you want to come, you can come. It was a small lamb. It was a slain lamb. But I tell you what, the passion and the purpose of Jesus Christ, we know that he was a slain lamb for you and I. But it was a standing lamb. You see, Jesus Christ stood on the cross of Calvary, and his hand stretched out. You know what? He stood, and he laid down his life in that grave. But he stood up, and he walked out of that grave in his right hand of the Father on high, making intercession for us today. That's our prayers today. Hebrews 7 and 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also the power of this Lamb to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercessions for them." Amen. The emblem was a little old lamb, an animal, so small. You see, but it says in the book of Revelation he has seven horns. Seven horns, horns is a signal of power and the signs of power. You see, animals, that's the way they fight. Big horn sheep, deer, all kind of animals, they fight with their horns. That shows us, you know, the great power. Jesus Christ says, "I have all power in heaven and earth." Power over the demons that controls you this day. You see, there's a spirit today, and he said he is a searching lamb because of the seven spirits of God. He's all-seeing God. You see, he sees in your heart right now this searching lamb. And he knows the reason, sees in your heart why that you won't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't know, and man don't know, and we don't even need to know, but God does. Because he said, "I got these seven eyes, the seven spirits of God, and they search in your heart. They know exactly, is it your pride, the reason you will not accept Jesus Christ? What is the reason that you will not come this hour and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Because he is a sovereign lamb. And the sovereign lamb says, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God for the glory of the Father." Everyone shall bow today. You want to bow today or you want to bow in eternity, but you will bow, my friends. God has made a way for us today. It will come with a song of invitation. I hope God has spoken to your heart today and you understand this one purpose that Jesus came, left the holy parts of heaven to come to this old world, dark and weary, for a purpose and a passion, and that is to save you, that you will not have to go to a place called hell. You know, the Bible says, you know, we all under condemnation. You don't have to do anything. We're already under condemnation because, you know what? I've sinned. Is there anybody here today would say that I have never sinned? Would you be willing to stand up and say, "Well, I have never sinned, not the first sin"? I don't think you'll find anybody that ever say that. I don't know what I'd do if someone stand up and say, "I don't know what I'd do," but I've never seen anybody would do that. But if you have sinned one sin, and you have, did you know what? You cannot go into the holy God with that one sin. And all your goodness, everything that you can do, will not pay God back for that one sin. Did you know you don't have anything that God will accept for that just one little sin? You think you're going to be good enough? Let me tell you, the best 5 minutes that I ever lived, the best 5 minutes I ever lived, will not grant me a way to heaven. You better not be counting on your goodness or being a good person, because you'll never make it. It's only to the cross of Calvary. It's the only way you're going to make it. And here's the words that Jesus Christ asked us to sing right now, we stand with a song of invitation. Come. If you decide to follow Jesus, come.